Now it's time to take a look at your Vancouver Warriors and the rest of the lacrosse league around North America. Here's the host of Warriors Nation, Dave Sheldon.
Hello and welcome to Warriors Weekly right here on your home of the National Lacrosse League and the Vancouver Warriors. It's Sportsnet 650. My name is Dave Sheldon. Glad to be a part of your evening here this evening, talking all things about lacrosse. I get excited when we talk about this stuff because I know how, as lacrosse fans, and there's a lot of you out there that are excited to hear about what's going on, good, bad, or indifferent. The Warriors are your team, and I'm happy to talk to you about the Warriors and have on some good guests here for the next hour and get to know what's going on with the Vancouver Warriors. And for you casual fans out there, lacrosse fans, sports fans out there, come on out to a game. Come on out and see what the Warriors are about. Come on out and see what the best lacrosse league in the world is all about. And you got a great weekend this weekend. I'll do that Friday night, 7:30 start at Rogers Arena. The Vancouver Warriors take on their division rivals, the San Diego Seals. It's St. Paddy's Day celebrations brought to you by Alterna Bank at Rogers Arena. Besides the great game that's going to happen on the floor, how about off the floor? Start your St. Paddy's Day celebration with the Warriors. It's green out at Rogers Arena. Join for the hunt for the golden coin, in-game scavenger hunt, performances by a Celtic band and a drumline band, some green cotton candy, and a post-game St. Patrick's Day party up at the sports bar. How do you get your tickets? It's simple. VancouverWarriors.com/tickets. That's VancouverWarriors.com/tickets to get your tickets to this game. You can also go and give us a phone call, 604-899-4625. 604-899-4625. Okay, let's get to the game, shall we? Last Saturday night, that's just a couple days ago, Vancouver Warriors at the SaskTel Center. They're taking on the Saskatchewan Rush. The Rush are a good team. First place in the division, now 7-3 after their big win over Vancouver, 17-7. It's obviously not the outcome that Vancouver was looking for. They want to be in these games. A tough start early, down 6-1 after the first quarter. They did bounce back, win the second quarter 2-1, but they were down 7-3 at the half. And then Saskatchewan took over in the third and fourth quarter, outscoring Vancouver 10-4 in that process and winning by a score of 17-7. It's easy to want to pile on to a team that has now lost four in a row. It's easy to want to pile on to a team that missed the playoffs last year and is going to be in tough to make the playoffs this year. I think what you have to look at, and it's my humble opinion, not you better look at it this way, but in my humble opinion, what you have to look at is the team growing? Is the team going forward? Is the team progressing? And while it'll be arguable, and we'll talk about this with Steve Ewan from the province and Adam Levy from Lacrosse Flash and also from NLL.com later on in the show, and we'll get their opinions. But I have to see progression. Have I seen Mitch Jones progress this year? Well, certainly. He's second in the league in scoring. He's in the top five in goals, in the top five in assists. He has 74 points on a team that's been challenged to score some goals this year. They're currently 10th of the 12 teams in scoring average per game. Do I see positives out of some of the offensive players outside of Jones? Yes, I do. Lyndon Bunio, who was brought in this year as a rookie signing, just a free agent signing, wasn't drafted, was brought in this year because of his tenacity away from the ball, his ability to dig for loose balls, his ability to get into the skin of the team he's playing against, and you know what? Find some confidence, score some goals. Lyndon Bunio scored two goals in that game against Saskatchewan. And to tell you how things went, this will give you an indication about the progression of Lyndon Bunio. That's just his fourth game this year. He sat out a few weeks in a row there as Logan Shuss came back. They wanted to see what Logan did. They brought in Bunio as a seventh forward on the weekend. Bunio, in front of 11,600 screaming, rabid Rush fans, after the team was outscored by 10 goals, was named the third star of the game in Saskatchewan's building. It would have been very easy to give it to a Saskatchewan Rush and have a three-star sweep. Would have been very easy for them to hand it over to, I don't know, Mitch Jones. He had six assists. Logan Shuss had three goals. But Lyndon Bunio scored two goals on three shots. He grabbed seven loose balls and was a genuine pain in the ass out there. And that's what you have to have when you're on offense if you're not producing. And it's not to say that, you know, and I'll be honest here. If Lyndon Bunio is recognized as a star on your team, that's great for him. But the team as a whole needs to be better. Lyndon should be among the conversation. He shouldn't be the conversation. But I'm not taking anything away from the kid. He played well. His attitude is great. He shows up at every practice, every shoot-around, and every game with a smile on his face. He ticks off his own teammates when he's playing. So it tells you he's working hard. He's working hard at practice with the understanding that at some point, the shoulder tap's going to come. They're going to go, kid, get in there. Show us what you got. Well, last week, Chris Gill said, kid, get in there. Show us what you got. Do your thing. And he went down there and tracked down 7 loose balls. Now, Jones grabbed 10, so he led the offense. But only 2 guys had more loose balls on the night than Lyndon Bunio, and that was the captain, Matt Beers, who had 14, and Mitch Jones, who had 10. If you look at the other side of the coin, Jeremy Thompson had 14, but a lot of those were off of faceoffs. You had Corbeil at 8, and that was it. From an offensive point of view, Lyndon Bunio was effective out there. And that's what you need to see from the offense. Yes, you need to see goals, of course. Let's not get lost on the fact the team scored 7. Let's not get lost the fact that this team is having a tough time scoring. What you have to look at is, as the team goes forward, are they progressing? And forward and progress are 2 different things. Forward means you're going forward. Tomorrow's coming. Regardless of what you want, we're moving forward. Progress is, what can we do Tuesday to make Wednesday better? What can we do Wednesday to make the game better on Friday? How do you get the win Friday, move into the game on the 27th of March against Calgary and try and make a late run at a playoff spot? But first things first, how do you get to Wednesday's practice, get better Wednesday, get to the game Friday, take on San Diego? Well, let's walk through that for a second. The San Diego Seals are 6-6 this season. And if ands and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a great Christmas. We've all heard that expression before. If the Vancouver Warriors had beaten San Diego in both games, and let's just put this into perspective. If is an awfully big word, because the bottom line is they did not win those games. But here are the underlying factors to that game. On the December 29th game, where Vancouver lost 11-10 at home in OT, Vancouver had 6, if not 7, leads in that game. They led all game long, except for the last goal of the game, which was the overtime winner by Brody Merrill. After a Mitch Jones shot went off the bottom of the dasherboard, ricocheted to center, and Merrill won the race to the ball and connected for the overtime winner. That put that team from being 0-5 to 1-4. They are now 6-6. They have turned their season around. In the second game that Vancouver took on San Diego on February 22nd, just a couple short weeks ago, Vancouver built a 7-2 second quarter lead and then allowed 10 consecutive goals against, 3 of them to finish off the half to lead 7-5. And by the time the dust settled, it was 12-7 before Vancouver scored their 8th goal, and it ended up being a 15-10 San Diego victory. You take those 2 wins out for San Diego, suddenly they're not 6-6. They're 4-8. Does that sound familiar? Vancouver's 4-9. Vancouver gets those 2 wins. They're 6-7, and this game means the world to both teams. Now, this game still means a lot to Vancouver. They're desperate to get in the playoffs. They need to have this victory to have any kind of chance on that. 9 wins will be tough to get in the playoffs this year, especially where the playoff standings are at this point. We'll talk about that with Adam in the second half of the show. But suffice it to say, right now, 7 wins get you in the playoffs, and there's still 5 weeks of season left. You're going to have at least 9 to get in. Vancouver would need to run the table to get to 9 wins. Vancouver has put together one 2-game win streak this year. They need to put together a 5-game win streak to make the playoffs or to get in the conversation. 9's a conversation starter. 10 probably gets you in. 8 only happens if everyone decides to drop the ball at the same time. I don't see that happening based upon how many times everyone else plays everyone else. It's just the math of the whole situation. So, that being said, what do you take from this game coming up on Friday to move forward? Well, number one, if you're the Warriors, you have to say to yourself, we had a chance to put these guys down twice, and we didn't do it. We're back at home Friday. The first thing we got to do is when we get these guys down, we keep them down. How do you get that for Vancouver? For the Warriors, it starts with a good offensive set. It starts with working the clock, not getting the full 30 in necessarily, but working the ball, swinging it side to side, working it off the right side of the left side. Mitch Jones is a catalyst on offense, but, and I mean this sincerely, Keegan Ball has to be better. Logan Schuss has to be better. Jordan McBride has to be better. Riley Lowen has been better, needs to be better than what he is. And he's very good. He's been very good this year. And so has Ball. Ball's, you know, again, top 20 scorer in the league. McBride's got over 20 goals. But is it good enough? No. The answer is no. The answer is good, great is better. You can't just be a good offensive team. You have to be a great offensive team. If you were a great offensive team, you would not be ranked 10th or 11th in the league in goals for. Out of 13 teams, isn't good enough. You've got one guy who's got 74 points on a team that has scored 110 goals this year. That's roughly 65% of the goals that Vancouver has scored this year has somehow or another been off the stick of Mitch Jones. Whether it's been his 28 goals or his 46 assists for 74 points. I mean, good on him. But not good on the team. You have to know where you can get more offense from. Because what's happened these last four games is you look at Jones' goal production. It's way down. You know why? Because the teams that are playing Vancouver have said to themselves, we will not lose to Mitch Jones. We'll lose to anybody else, but we're not losing to Jonesy. San Diego started that all 4 weeks ago. When this whole losing streak started, Eli Gobrecht, decent defender, was given the task by Patrick Merrill, the head coach, general manager of the Seals, to get into the back pocket of Mitch Jones. Wherever Jones goes, Eli, you go. Jones goes behind the net, follow him. Jones goes up the right side, follow him. Jones goes at the top of the slot, follow him. Follow him to the bathroom. Follow him on this date after the game. Follow him. Do not let him beat the Seals. And they left it in the devices of Logan and McBride and Ball, Lowen, and challenges accepted by the Seals. They did not get beat by Mitch Jones. Didn't have his usual game. Got in a fight. That took him off the floor for another 5 minutes. Got frustrated. Jones has to work past that. The team has to work past that. When you look at what happens with this team, when you look at how it runs offensively, it is through Jones. But Ball needs to control the play. When Keegan Ball played against San Diego last year, it was a coming out party. 9 points against San Diego in San Diego when they routed him 12-6. 9 points. They ran everything through Keegan Ball. It's not to say that Mitch Jones can't handle it, but if you see Jones getting handled, maybe Keegan Ball should step up top of the slot and run the offense. And they bring in a kid like Keegan Bell. You got Jordan McBride over there. You can bring Mallory up from the back end if you need to. You give yourself options on the left side, and then you spot Logan, Mitch, and Lowen on the right side. Left and right side. They're lefties on the right side. You know what I'm saying. The Vancouver Warriors offensively need to find their mark, because when they don't find it offensively, it puts a lot of pressure on the defense. And when you look at it from a defensive point of view, this is where the offensive sets come into play. Even if you don't score, get the shot away. Get the rebound. Get a new 30. Buy a minute. Buy 90 seconds. Buy 45 seconds if you have to. Go 20 and 20, do a 40. There's a 30-second shot clock for those of you not familiar with lacrosse. And for the Warriors to be effective, it can't be fast break basketball. You can't go down, see a shot, 7 seconds, take the shot, because you're switching out the offense and the defense. And it puts the defense right back out on the floor. And any of you who have watched football, CFL, NFL, XFL, any of you that have watched football, college, high school, understand this. The longer that your defense is out there, the more tired they're going to get. They will eventually go from bend to break. The one thing we see every week when we go into a National Lacrosse League building is just how good offensive players are in this league and how they can pick corners. And when you get time, you will light goalies up. Eric Penny was lit last week for 34 shots and 10 goals. So he stopped 24 of 34 for a save percentage of about 666, 650. That's not good enough for a goalie. But keep this in mind. There were two or three goals that were scored on Vancouver at the end of the Rush's 30-second clock. In fact, one of them was scored when the clock was going to zero. Now, should the goalie have those? I'm certain that Eric Penny will say, I should have had that one. I'm certain his defense will say, I should have had that one. But when your team gets tired, that space that shooter has, it goes from a window to a door. It goes from a door to a patio door. It goes from a patio, you get what I'm saying? It becomes a massive opportunity. Ben McIntosh has had an average year. Ben McIntosh rectified that with 3 goals, 3 assists against Vancouver. Matthews went 2 goals, 7 assists for 9 points. Keenan went 4 goals, 1 assist for 5 points. All of these guys had something that Vancouver didn't have when they were on offense, and that is time. Time to shoot the ball. And time means space. So it's not that the defense has been terrible. They've been bend but not break. But when they get to break, what happens is you find guys open, you find guys with time, and these guys could all take the tick off a dog if they're given time. So I give full credit to the Saskatchewan Rush for this game. You know how you say, oh, you shouldn't have. No. The Rush deserved to win that game. And the week before, that team deserved to win. The week before, that team deserved to win. They are deserving it right now more than Vancouver is. And I live this every day. I'm in the office every day. I go to practice with the team. I travel with the team. I go to games with the team. And there's no bigger amount of frustration than that of the players and the coaching staff, of course, Dan as well, the GM. But these guys know that they have to do more to make things happen. And they're doing everything they can. And that'll be something that we can work on. All right. We'll get to our first break here momentarily. Do want to tell you about the Vancouver Warriors' next game. That's this coming Friday. As mentioned, San Diego Seals in town. Seals will try and sweep the season. Vancouver will try and say no. And the best part about this, it's St. Paddy's Day. We're celebrating St. Paddy's Day at Rogers Arena. 7:30 start Friday, March 13th. Celtic band in town. Drumline band. They were there for the opener against Calgary. They're outstanding. Green cotton candy, a post-game St. Paddy's Day party up at the sports bar. How do you get your tickets? VancouverWarriors.com. That's VancouverWarriors.com/tickets. Or you can call 604-899-4625. When we come back, we'll hear from Adam Levy. We'll hear from Steve Ewan. and we'll talk some more lacrosse. I'm Dave Sheldon. This is Warriors Weekly on your home of the National Lacrosse League and the Vancouver Warriors, Sportsnet 650.
Now more of Warriors Weekly. Here's your host, Dave Sheldon.
Welcome back to Warriors Weekly right here in your home of the National Lacrosse League and the Vancouver Warriors. It's Sportsnet 650. Dave Sheldon with you once again till the top of the hour. We got Adam Levy on here momentarily to talk all things National Lacrosse League, not just the Warriors. We'll touch on the Warriors, of course, because he writes for the NLL.com for the Warriors, also Lacrosse Flash contributor. But I want to get his perspective on the whole league as we get into the final third of the season. Before we do that, St. Patrick's Day is next Tuesday, the 17th of March, which is trade deadline day, by the way. But you know what? We're going to celebrate it early at Rogers Arena. Friday, March 13th, the Seals are in town to take on the Warriors, 7:30 start. But it's St. Paddy's Day, brought to you by Alterna Bank. Join the hunt for the golden coin in the in-game scavenger hunt. You can also hear from a Celtic band live and that drumline band. As I mentioned last segment, we had a drumline band for the Calgary game at the start of the year that was outstanding. We get them again for this game. Green cotton candy. I know Adam's going to love that. And a post-game St. Patrick's Day celebration at the sports bar. How do you get tickets? VancouverWarriors.com. That's VancouverWarriors.com. 604-899-4625. Option number 3 gets you tickets to the Warriors and the Seals Friday, March 13th, 7:30 p.m. All right, let's go to the phone line right now and talk to Adam Levy. As mentioned, NLL.com writer for the Vancouver Warriors and for the league for that matter, and also a contributor for Lacrosse Flash. You can hear that podcast online, and you can see them on the Facebook and the Twitter as well. Adam's got a great Twitter handle as well, so make sure you go on board and just type in Adam Levy and you'll find him right there. That's L-E-V-I. Adam, good evening. How are you?
I'm really good, Dave. How have you been?
You know what? All things considered, I mean, no one likes to see your team lose, and being that I'm a part of the team, I hate it. But at the same time, you know, I look at positives, and I mentioned in the first half of the show that one of the positives I took away from the game on Saturday against Saskatchewan, and there's not a whole lot you could pull away from a 17-7 loss, but when a rookie by the name of Lyndon Bunio can walk into that building and get third star, be recognized in Saskatchewan for the work he did as a rookie, I find that to be something you could take away from the game.
Yeah, definitely. And you could see his energy and the two goals that he scored. He looked very confident stepping into a couple of them, hitting with precision. So he did look very good. And that's what you want to see from young guys in this league. You know, the Warriors are going to be getting a lot of draft picks in the next coming years, and obviously this year, and something they've struggled with in the past, not having many draft picks. But if things hold the way that they have in the standings this season, they'll have a very high pick this year, and continuing to build that young core around guys like Bunio and others. So it was really good to see him perform, and I know that he's really passionate about the Warriors and about this team, and so that kind of energy from young guys like him, from Claire, like others, you know, Hammer Jackson at the Faceoff X, you want to see that kind of grit and tenacity from your players, and Bunio really stepped up and showed it this past game.
Well, and you made a point right off the get-go of saying confidence, and confidence in a rookie, sometimes you don't find it, and sometimes it takes you a while to find it, but for him, he's played just the 4 games this year. I don't know if it's going to be very tough for Chris Gill to pull him out of the lineup at this point, being that he's playing with confidence out there, but as you said, found his spots, took the shots. Both those goals that he scored the other night against Saskatchewan were both good, hard goals that he drove the net for, and you got to like seeing that.
Yeah, it's, you know, hopefully, I think you're exactly right with Gilly, you know, deciding to play him more often. You know, I have to say that the way that the season is looking for the Warriors right now, whether it's the overall standings and the playoff push or the Alterna Cup even, it's not looking great. And I think that one of the positives that you can look out of this team is that there are a lot of pieces there that you can build around. And now, you know, obviously this team's not going to give up. That's not their mentality. But, you know, it's always good to look towards the future and see what pieces you have. So when you have those drafts, when you have the trade deadline, when you have free agency, you can see what pieces you have now and what you can build around for the future. And I think that Bunio has the potential to be a starter in this lineup if he can prove it with more starts.
You know, we've talked about this, and Adam Levy is our guest right now. He's a NLL.com writer, also a contributor for Lacrosse Flash, and he's also a contributor here regularly on Warriors Weekly. You can add that to your byline, by the way. You can put that in there if you want, Adam.
I would love to. Thank you.
Figure that out. So if you could do that, that would just pump us both up. Just throw it out there. Anyways, we carry on. I digress a little bit. I look at what we see with the Warriors from a standpoint of of confidence. And I think the one thing that's offensively they might be lacking that right now, because from an offensive standpoint, and I don't want to put this all on the offense, but it's hard not to look at it this way, is the fact that when they're not getting the proper offensive sets, when they're not getting a full 30 in, or they're not getting a good shot in, and it's a turnover quickly, it makes the defense, and I talked about this last segment, it makes the defense get a little more malleable. It makes the defense give the offense on the other team a little more space. And you see every team in this league, they have a group of guys that can shoot the lights out. You saw it last week with Saskatchewan. You get it this week with San Diego. Every team has shooters. So it's incumbent upon the offense going forward to make sure that their sets are solid. They pick up the occasional loose ball on a rebound, get a new 30, work the clock a little bit, and give that defense some time to rest.
And, you know, you mentioned the Seals coming up. You know, they look like a healthy team now. But if you look back at the Rush and then the week before, obviously, against the Georgia Swarm, those are two very potent offenses. And one thing that they do so well, and good offenses in this league do well, is they not only move the ball quickly, but they move the ball east to west across the floor. So moving it from one side of the floor to the other with such ease, it looks like. So having that vision and being able to move the ball so it's tough for defenses to be in those sets, that's something that the Warriors could definitely work on in the future. Obviously, you know, they're trying to find a group. They fit in Riley Lowen and have, you know, been easing him into an offensive set, and he's kind of found his groove. You know, he's scoring at least a goal or two in most of his last six games, so that's really good to see. But, you know, you need more guys to step up, because I know that Chris Gill and Dan Richardson have talked about improving their depth this season, but if you look at the teams that are competing for the playoffs this year, and as you mentioned, the amount of depth and the amount of ability of players to score not just one goal, but a handful of goals is what you need to win a championship in this league. And you saw that from the Swarm, you saw it from the Rush, and you're going to see it from the rest of the teams out, and all the teams that the Warriors play for the rest of the season are playoff contenders, or will definitely be in the playoffs. If you look at Halifax, if you look at the Rush at the end of the season, and then you've got competitive teams like the Roughnecks and the Mammoth, who are really fighting for that, probably a wild card spot or something like that. So it's going to be a tough run the rest of the season.
Well, and to your point as well, is that every single one of these teams that you've mentioned, the biggest difference between what they've done and what the Warriors have done, and again, I work with the team, full disclosure, so it's tough to say that. It's consistency. It's that McIntosh, while he was struggling a little bit to start the year, he's come around now. Shatler the same way. You now look at San Diego. Connor Fields has had a nice breakout year as a rookie, but you also see guys down there like Austin Stotts, who's back and healthy, and he's getting two goals a game. The consistency of having multiple guys on offense, you just can't have Logan get three goals one game and then not get anything the next game. You can't have McBride get four 2 games ago against Georgia, but get zero against Saskatchewan. You have to have everyone pulling the rope to have success on offense.
Right. And the one thing is that even though Mitch hasn't scored in the last 2 games, Mitch Jones, he does have 10 assists. He had 6 this past weekend. And importantly, they were all primary assists. So he was the guy feeding the shooter. So he, you know, as we've talked about on this show, he's the guy that people expect to score, but now defenses are focusing on him. But we can see that he is getting the ball to the shooter, and the shooter is able to score. So it's about having those other guys really step up and be able to score. And, you know, last year we saw it from McBride. We saw it from Keegan Ball. We know what Riley Lowen can do. We know what Logan Schuss can do. It's about putting all those pieces together. And especially the last 2 games, it's been tough to get a handful of guys to score multiple goals, and that goes back to those offensive sets.
You know, it's very easy when you see 17 goals put up against your team that you want to put the finger on the defense and you want to say, well, geez, what's the defense doing? But I say it's symbiotic. When you don't have a good offensive set, it allows your defense to get a little tired out there. It allows your goaltender to take a lot of rubber on the night and then, you know, leave themselves a little bit vulnerable out there. And I think that with the offense starting to strike a little bit, if they can, it's going to take some pressure off that defense and allow Penny and the defense in front of him to set up better as well, instead of being so tired out there.
Yeah, I mean, second chance opportunities are so important in this league. Getting rebounds, like you said, are really great, and goals are momentum breakers. And this game is this league is a league of runs. And so when you look at what the Rush did, they have multiple goal runs, and the Warriors, they have one here and one there, and one, you know, you need to build off of scoring. And you know, it is kind of, I know it sounds cliche, but it is a team effort. So it's hard to place it just on the defense or the goaltending or the offense. So if you score, you want to get a face-off and you want to continue the momentum. But if you can't win the face-off and the other team gets the ball off their score, they have a chance to rebound. And in this league, you know, we saw it a lot this past weekend with teams making comebacks, with teams answering each other's goals, that you need to have that response or you need to be able to make a run of your own. And the Warriors have struggled to go on really long runs, and they've been unfortunately on the opposite side of teams' runs. Remember what San Diego did, 10 goals against them in a row, and obviously the Rush scoring multiple goals against them this weekend. So that definitely is a backbreaker within itself.
Our guest is Adam Levy, contributor, National Lacrosse League for NLL.com and also for the Lacrosse Flash. You can also catch him on Twitter as well. Give everyone your handle again on Twitter so everyone knows where to go, Adam.
Yeah, go to Adam Levy Sports. That's ADAMLEVI.
I love it. And you get some good insight. You got some good stats out there. Adam's a good guy to talk about the National Lacrosse League with. And I want to turn our attention to what's looking like an outstanding playoff race. I mean, obviously, the Vancouver Warriors want to be a part of that. And they are on the outside. They have to make quite a run to get back into this playoff picture because everyone right now has at least 7 wins going to the playoffs as we speak. We still got 5 weeks left to go in the season. But to give people some perspective, and I did this, Adam, from a winning percentage based upon the standings today in the National Lacrosse League, 1 through 8 right now. New England last week was 5th place, but because of a couple of key victories this weekend, they move up to 1st place overall with a 727 win percentage. Now, they've played a couple more games than Saskatchewan, who's 7-3, so they're 700. But, I mean, New England went from 5th to 1st, and they would get Philly in the first round. Saskatchewan would get Buffalo. Halifax would get Colorado. Toronto would get Georgia. There's not a team there that's soft amongst those 8, and there's a big team that we're not even talking about, and that's the Calgary Roughnecks, who are trying to get back in, and they're 5-5 right now. They got a lot of ball left to play, and they're not even included in this conversation. This could change dramatically in the next 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, you know, the last couple of years, there's been a conversation about the increased parity in the league, and this year is not an exception. And I think that this year, what's different actually is that, you know, last year we saw Buffalo, we saw other teams like Calgary made a surge late, but Buffalo looked like a strong contender the whole way. This year, there has rarely, like, especially towards the middle of the season, there hasn't really been a team where you said, I think that team could beat everyone else and they're going to win the championship. Like you mentioned, with the playoff battles as they would stand today, it really looks like anybody could beat anybody, and I think that that is really something that we haven't seen in the playoffs. And with this new playoff format, I think it adds another competitive level to this league, and I think that the NLL did a fantastic job creating these wild card spots, putting those division leaders, because if you had it before with the 1 through 4 teams in the West, there's obviously, maybe not this year, but there could be a huge difference in what that team can bring. But now with the top 2 teams and now those wild card positions, now you're really getting the best of the best and those scrappy teams that are going to make the playoffs. And I think that it's going to be one of the most exciting NLL playoffs in recent memory.
Well, and I like what you said about the NLL doing it right, because lacrosse, it always seems, has always figured out a way to not get it 100% right. The one thing I like about this playoff format this year is not just the bottom where the wild cards are. Everyone always talks about the scrappy wild card teams. Well, with all 3 divisions being as tight as they are and everyone fighting for their chance, like New England at 8-3, Halifax 8-4, Saskatchewan 7-3, those are your 3 division leaders. They all have something to play for. They don't get to coast in to the playoffs like they might have done in the past, where a team's been home and cooled out at 13-4 going to the last week of the season. They're sitting guys out. If you want to have the number 1 seed the whole way through, you got to play right to the end. And Saskatchewan has had all of their buys early in the season. They're playing pretty much every week down the stretch here, end of the line. So home field for them would be a massive proposition if they can get it.
Yeah, and when I had done a piece on NHL.com about the Rush and that very weird start that they had to their season with so many byes, it was hard to get a rhythm. I know that Derek Keenan had told me that they had one of the best practices they had in years before they started this stretch of, I believe it was like 13 games over 12 weeks with no more bye weeks. And that's exactly how they want it. And that's how most teams want it. If you talk to coaches and players around the league, they want to play more. You know, it'll be interesting to see once there is more expansion in this league and more games how that's going to work. But right now, players and coaches, they want to get in this rhythm. They want to show their fans and people what they can do when they're clicked in. And so the Rush are doing that right now. And the Rush do look like one of the more dominant teams in this league, obviously, on their winning streak as they are. And then you mentioned New England. They're on a four-game winning streak. And as you said, they've now skyrocketed into first in the East and the top overall seed. And that's something that we kind of expected. You know, Andrew Q, the rookie, and the performance of Joe Resiteritz has definitely allowed this team to have so many different weapons. They've also got other guys. And, of course, you can't forget Callum Crawford. But the ability... We go back to the conversation about having multiple guys being able to score. You know, when your rookie and your star player can score lights out all the time, then you're going to be a potent offense. And then they've got a great goalie as well in I'm blanking at the moment. New England's goalie
is Jameson.
Doug Jameson, yes, yeah. Of course.
Before I let you go, we talk about the eight teams that are in. I talked about the one team that's not in right now that I think will want to be accounted on at the end of the year, and that's Calgary. San Diego, by the way, they're still 500 as well, and they've got six games left. If there's a team that's going to fall out, which one would it be? And I'll start first by going on the board and saying if any team's going to fall out a wild card, it's going to be the 8-6 Philadelphia Wings. And the reason why I say that is because they had a great start. They've been a little bit iffy in the last five, six games being 500. But they're running out of games. They only got four games left, whereas a team like Calgary's got eight games to go to find their way and get themselves back. And they've got Dane Doby back. I think that if any team's going to fall out of the top eight, it might be Colorado, might be Philly. What do you think?
I would say that, I mean, what Colorado did yesterday against Rochester to storm all the way back was really impressive. And it was really the offensively, you know, they're a defensive minded team. So for them to be able to storm back offensively and do it the way that they did with highlight reel goals, with spectacular passes, if Colorado can be clicked in offensively like they were yesterday, and I know that after that first quarter when they were down 6-1, that Pat Coyle definitely gave them a riot speech and was like, this isn't how we want to play. And, you know, if this team can get the fire in their belly and say, like, okay, we're going to play offensively the way we do defensively, which is very tenacious, then I think Colorado can stay in it. I think that San Diego, for me, is a bit of a wild card because of their goalie situation. Frank Chiliano is a very credible, great goalie in this league, but he's been hot and cold at times this season. And then Nick DeMude has stepped in for them as a backup. He's been really good, but at other times, you know, he needs some help. So goaltending is key. And then you've got guys like Zach Greer and Jeremy Noble who have come over from Colorado to San Diego now, and they're having spectacular seasons. Can they keep it up the rest of the way? I think that it's a lot of questions, but, you know, San Diego proved a lot of people wrong last year when they were an expansion team. So maybe I'd eat my words there, but I think that, you know, Philly's dropped off. Zach Higgins has been incredible in net. They need a lot more of that. But, you know, four games left, like you said, that makes it really challenging, and it does provide a lot of opportunities. Look at New England. They've got three more games, and they're in the same division.
Yeah, there's a lot of lacrosse left to be played for New England, for Calgary, for other teams as well. Saskatchewan, 7-3. They have a chance to, you know, if they can start getting things on track, be the number one overall seed. There's so much to talk about. We'll do it again soon, Adam. Really appreciate your time tonight. Thanks for joining us on Warriors Weekly.
Of course. Anytime, Dave.
That was Adam Levy. Again, you can catch his stuff on Lacrosse Flash, also NLL.com. He's doing a preview this week on San Diego and Vancouver, so you can catch that later on this week. And he has a lot of good things to say on Twitter as well, at Adam Levy, that is L-E-V-I Sports. Have a look at his Twitter handle. He's got usually some nice little tidbits in there about upcoming games, not just for the Warriors, but throughout the National Lacrosse League, and he provided us some insight today here on Warriors Weekly. I go to the bullpen for the closer every week, and this week it's Steve Ewan from the province. He has been busy with not just the BC Boys and Girls Basketball Championships, but the Vancouver Warriors, Vancouver Giants. You are a man about town, a raconteur, my friend, and welcome back to Warriors Weekly. Thanks for taking time.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for the promo. I'd like to get that in writing, some use it for my next job.
First of all, I can't write, so that's why I leave it to you guys to do that writing for us. So appreciate that, and thanks for enabling me to have you on the show, because it's always great to talk lacrosse with you. And I know that you've been extremely busy, but you always keep an eye on what's going on with lacrosse, because I know that you love the game. And I look at Vancouver, and I talked to Adam about this, and I talked to the listeners in the first half of the show about the fact that, look, I'm embedded with the team, so I'm a little bit compromised in the sense that, look, I have to look for what's good. And I saw Lyndon Bunio last week. I liked what was good. I saw a couple other different things that are out there from that standpoint, but I didn't see a ton out there about what is good. When you look at this team right now, and I know they're a week or so away from deadline, I need you to give me what you think needs to happen here for the Vancouver Warriors before the 17th of March.
I think they have to sell. I think it's time for them to take a hard look at and maybe part ways with some of the veteran guys and recoup some of the draft picks they've lost over the years. And I think it's time to go full on rebuild, which this program hasn't done. Gosh, I think it didn't do it when it was Langley, and it tried a little bit last year, but I think it needs to really take a hard look and make some hard calls on guys.
But you can't just throw away and get anchors, because you know every team's looking at the team right now going, who can we fleece off of Dan and what can we get? I mean, that mm-hmm. I'm sure that's, like you said, he's open for business to be sure, but you can't just give away the kitty and make sure you got to get something back.
I think he has to get draft picks. I think this team has to get younger. I think this team has to get more athletic. This was a 2-16 team two seasons ago that was over the salary cap, which is a hard thing to do. I mean, I know they've changed that front office group, that team brass group, but I mean, it's exciting to see what's going on off the floor. It's exciting to see the team pick up fans and there seems to be a good buzz about how enjoyable the games are to be at. I think if they ever... I think when they get it figured out on the floor, I think this thing could be Calgary or Colorado or any of those franchises that tend to draw over, into the five figures every game.
You look at this team, and I don't mean to stop you short, Steve, you and our guest from the province, but I try and tell people how important the draft is. But when they talk to me, they're like, well, of course it's important for you. You work for the team. And I'm like, it's not just the discount from you working for the team. The draft, if you look at every other team in this league, the draft has helped most, if not all, these teams get the key players that they need to make their run for not just 1 or 2 years, but 4 or 5 years.
I think it also helps you sell. I think in terms, because generally you're getting a guy in his early 20s, doesn't have a full-time career job yet, probably doesn't have a family yet, is a guy that can go out and do a lot of those school program things, a lot of those community outreach things, and it gives you a lot more. It's big for the salary cap because it's generally a lower salary guy. I think there's a lot of pluses. I think you look at the teams that have a lot of success in this league, generally have 2 or 3 or 4 years of first-round picks.
Steve.
And really, high-end guys.
Steve Ewan is our guest from the province. I'm Dave Sheldon here on Warriors Weekly, Sportsnet 650. Last couple minutes before I let you go, let's circle back to the game coming up this weekend. San Diego in town, they're a 6-6 team. It annoyed me, and I said this in the last segment, that Vancouver had this team down in both those games, couldn't find a way to finish them off. If those games are reversed, Vancouver 6-7 now, San Diego 6-8, or pardon me, 4-8. They're not, obviously. That's why they're in the position that they're in. But this team, to me, when I see San Diego, I see what could have been for Vancouver this year had they beat this team, and I think it's a statement for them to have to want to go out there this weekend and make sure that they put this team down for real this time and keep them down?
I think in a lot of ways, I think it's time to start trying breaking hearts. I think it's time to try and to start messing with other people's playoff runs. And it's time to start making a case for being part of this group next year. And you know, I think they need to take it one game at a time. I know that's cliche, but I think they need to look at what's directly in front of them and just try and build some momentum and help build the brand. I think the organization did great things off the start of the year with the promotion and the social media and all those things. And I think here's a chance to pay back what they did. And I think that's what that's what I like to see guys doing on this team.
Always appreciate your time, Steve. Thanks for taking some this evening and talking to our fans about Warriors Weekly and about the Vancouver Warriors. Thank you.
Thanks.
That was Steve Ewan from the province, and big thanks to him for joining us as well as Adam Levy. Before I let you go, big game this Friday. The Warriors want to stay in the playoff chase. They got to get a win here against San Diego, and it's also a fun night, St. Paddy's Day night. We're going to celebrate early. The 13th of March, it's Friday the 13th, Warriors, San Diego Seals. Get your St. Paddy's Day celebration on early when the Warriors take on the San Diego Seals. Join us for the hunt for the golden coin and the in-game scavenger hunt. We can also have performances from a live Celtic band and also from the Drumline band, some green cotton candy, and make sure you join us post-game for the St. Paddy's Day party up at the sports bar. How do you get your tickets? You go to VancouverWarriors.com, VancouverWarriors.com, or 604-899-4625. I want to thank Adam Levy. I want to thank Steve Ewan. And I want to thank you for listening for the last hour. It's always fun to talk lacrosse. Yes, the team's not where we want it to be right now. They're 4-9. But you know what? I see positives in this, and I hope that you do as well. And thanks for taking the time out to listen to us tonight. I'm Dave Sheldon on behalf of Sportsnet 650 and the Vancouver Warriors. Nothing's offside, folks. And you've heard Warriors Weekly right here on Sportsnet 650.